And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. Yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. I've been a real estate investor since 2011, and I've been a Lifestyles Unlimited member since 2013. Now, there's a two-year window in there. Guess which time I wasn't very good at investing in real estate. I didn't even know what I was doing, man. I was just blindfolded in a closet trying to use a hammer to get out of there. And I hammered my way through and was humble enough to go get educated, right? I'm on to something. I need to learn how to do this right. And I did learn how to do it right. And it's amazing just how life has changed from that dependency on W-2 income to the benefits and well-being of monthly passive income. And if you don't have any passive income in your life, that's why we're here, to guide and teach you step by step how to effectively purchase and invest in cash flowing real estate, therefore buying your life back one piece at a time. Today is a great day. It's a wonderful time to be a real estate investor. And I want you to remember, if you want to live the life that others don't live, you have to be willing to do the things that others won't do. Keep that in mind as we get into the show today. I'm going to do a deep dive into multifamily due diligence at ground level, not a flyover, ground level. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of a multifamily due diligence. I just participated in the due diligence stage of a potential multifamily purchase just a couple of weeks ago. Now, I've touched on the subject, but I've never really done the deep dive. And I was there with lead investors, and I think there was about 30 of us all in all that volunteered to come help with the due diligence. First of all, what is a multifamily due diligence? I'll get into the nuts and bolts, but in a nutshell, due diligence, and it's a stage during the purchase period of a multifamily apartment community. Okay, it's just one of the stages. But in a nutshell, due diligence, it's really just a confirmation of value in order to justify purchase price. It works like this simply. Apartment owner decides that they want to sell their apartment. They contact a commercial real estate broker who specializes in multifamily real estate. The broker team meets with the owners, reviews the property, reviews the sale opportunity, just like a real estate broker that you use on your house. But the process is similar, but it's a lot deeper. So they review the sales opportunity. They decide on a sales price. We can go to market at this price. They then market the property at said sale price, and a potential buyer or several potential buyers, typically they have hey, we're going to take so many offers to buy this property, and we're going to turn it off at such and such date. Okay, so there may be several potential buyers. These buyers show interest and communicate their desire to buy. Like I said, typically, there are several offers from several different groups, okay? These various buyers will submit what's called an LOI. That is a letter of intent. Hi, this is me. I would like to buy your property. Here's what I would like to buy it at. And I don't want to get too specific, but the first thing that the owner of the multifamily property, and it may be an investment group, but the owner's team get together with the broker, and they're going to filter through the buyers. Okay, hey, we have 8 buyers on this property. Let's look at buyer team 1. They're going to look for experience. They're going to look for financial backing, right? Does this group have the means to actually take down this property? We're talking about multi-million dollar transactions, okay? But the bottom line is they want to select a buyer that has the resources and the knowledge to complete the transaction, okay? It's not just good enough that you have the money to buy an apartment community. The bank wants to know, do you know what you're doing, okay? Can you run this property, especially if we're loaning you money on it? We want to make sure we get our money back, which means we want to make sure we have a captain of this ship that knows how to navigate the ship, okay? So these are multi-million dollar transactions. The sellers and the seller broker are going to get together, and they're going to rate the buyers, and they're going to basically go through and they're going to select a buyer group, and then they're going to begin working with that group. They're going to tell the other ones, hey, you're second, you're third, you're fourth. If anything changes, we'll call you. Okay, we'll let you know. So right now, during this time, the letter of intent has now been accepted by a seller. Okay. I accept your letter of intent, and now the clock starts, right? The buyers and the buyer team want to get to that property. They want to get there, and they want to do a due diligence. They want to dig in, look under the hood. They want to see this property. You have to understand that apartment values are based on cap rates and net operating income. Now, I don't know if it's going to get purchased or not. This is just the part where you go look at the property, okay? So I volunteered to help some lead investors, about 30 of us that were there. But where I was going is apartments are valued on cap rate and NOI, all right? The seller is saying, hey, here's the value of my apartment community that you want to buy. And they're not saying prove me wrong, but they're saying, hey, this is what it's worth based on here's my financials. And the new buyers, right? You can't just believe them. You know, hey, my property's worth $20 million. Okay, I'll buy it. No, you got to go check it out. Is it worth $20 million or is it really only worth $15 million? That's a big difference if you're an investor. But they're valued differently, cap rates and NOI. And cap rate is short for capitalization rate. It's really a simple way to measure return on investment for a multifamily property. And it's calculated using the net operating income. We refer to that as NOI, and the property's value or the purchase price. So the formula would be cap rate equals NOI divided by property value. Okay. NOI, total income, like rent. Okay. It could be rent. It could be some other things, but it's total income, right? All the money that's coming in each and every month. And we add that up and here's how much we made, right? Or how much income we had. It's not how much we made. It's how much income we had. But you have to get rid of the operating expenses. Okay. So you back that out, maintenance, management, taxes. Don't back out the mortgage payments. Okay. Don't back that out when you're calculating NOI because someone could pay cash for it. They wouldn't have any mortgage payments. And then property value. And value may, at the time, if you're trying to figure this out, may just be what they're selling the property for. So, for example, a multifamily property that generates $100,000 a year in NOI, and it's worth $1 million, $100,000 over $1 million equals 10, right? It's a 10% cap rate. Now, typically, the higher the cap rate means there's a greater risk, okay? It's a higher return, but it may mean greater risk, right? So typically, the more distressed a property is, the more properties in a, you know, crime area, more tore up the property is, the greater risk. It's going to have a higher cap rate. Your super premium type A brand new properties in a, you know, a hot financial area or hot manufacturing area going to have a much lower cap rate. What they're saying is the risk is down. So your investment, you're not risking very much, and therefore you're not going to earn very much. So you might be at a 3% or a 5%. So you use all that and you work through that to generate basically a value. So the buyer can use the cap rate formula to basically work backwards and determine the NOI to justify that purchasing price, right? NOI equals cap rate times property value. So if you have a property value at $15 million and the cap rate at 6.5%, you'd want a return of $975,000. You need to find, is this property, you want to sell it, Mr. Seller, for $15 million. We know cap rates are 6.5% based on the area, based on the age of this property. You're telling me it's worth $15 million. I need to see that it's generating a net operating income of $975,000. You with me? I know math on the air is hard, but that's basically how you get there, right? So you're going to go in as a buyer, and you're going to want to look at it. Maybe you don't find $975,000. Maybe you only find $800,000, but you know in your mind you could get that up to $1 million. I don't know that you buy it for $15,000, but you can negotiate it, right? So you got to walk it. You got to walk. You got to look at everything, the rent rolls, the financials, the leases, the exterior, walk the entire property, walk every sidewalk. This is why there was a bunch of volunteers, right? We're helping these lead investors to do that. We're going to look at every fence line, every property line. We're going to check the roofs. We're going to check the big five, right? The electrical, the foundation, the plumbing, the sewer. We're going to walk the parking lot. What's the condition of the parking lot? A bunch of potholes? Or is it great? It's just been new asphalt. It's all striped. It looks good. We're going to check the trash dumpsters, the laundry buildings, everything. We want to know what is the condition, what repairs need to be made. Now, more importantly, there's urgent repairs and there's repairs that you're going to bake in long term, right? If there's old appliances in the apartment community, you don't go in on day one and buy everyone a new dishwasher. Okay, boom. You may have the money that you are budgeting in your CapEx to go, yes, we're going to get new dishwashers, but you're doing that as the unit turns, right? Is the dishwasher running? Is it functional? Good. We don't need to replace that just yet. We can wait until this person moves on or until we decide to upgrade that unit. So we want to know what repairs need to be made. Now there's urgent repairs. Hey, this hot water heater is leaking. It's old. It needs to be replaced. We can note that on our due diligence and go, that's a day one repair. If current ownership doesn't fix it, you need to fix it, especially if there's a resident in there. So there's a process and an order to repair. So we, as the due diligence team, we were there to review the financials. We want to review true occupancy. The sellers, I mean, they could tell you anything. You've got to inspect what you expect. They may go, hey, we're 95% occupied. And let's say we walk that property and it's a 100-unit property. Okay, I'm just pulling it out. They say, okay, you're 95% occupied. I go look at every unit and I go, well, why are 12 units completely empty, no furniture? You're not at 95%. You're at 88%. Right? At least physical occupancy, not even to address true financial occupancy, right? You may have all those people in there. You may have a 100-unit property with 100 people living there, but if only 80 are paying rent, you're at 80%, friend. You got 20% of people that are just living there for free, not paying you. So there's a difference between physical occupancy and the financial occupancy. But we do walk every unit. Let me give you the reasons why we walk every single unit. One, like I said, we want to confirm if it's occupied. If it's vacant, what is the condition of the vacancy? Can someone move into this right away, or do a bunch of repairs need to be made, right? What's the condition of that unit? A unit ready to go is different than a unit that needs a makeover or a make ready, okay? So again, the sellers can tell you anything. You just need to check for yourself. How many people are in each unit? Okay, sometimes it's hard to tell, but if I walk in, I see three beds, three toothbrushes, three areas of items, signs of three people, or maybe I count three people. Three people are living in that unit. We need to make a note and compare it to the lease. More on the other side.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. A couple weeks ago, I volunteered, was part of a due diligence team for some lead investors. The lead investors are looking at a property And obviously the seller has said, hey, property's worth this, we're selling it for this. And they've gone through the whole process with their financial team and their brokers, and they identified this property as a potential target. Now we're at the point where we need to walk the property. We need, is this property what it says it is on paper? And you divide into two teams. You have the unit walk team and you have the financial team, right? And the financial team is literally going to do a financial audit of the paperwork, right? Is everything on paper, is it adding up to what we need it to add up to? Is it legit? Is it real? You're looking at every lease. You're looking at the trailing 12, which is basically a P&L of the property. What's the performance the last 3 months versus 3 months last year? Is there a major difference? If so, why? Maybe they're just leasing it to Purple Martians, right? Hey, we need to hurry up and get our occupancy way up, so we're not going to screen our residents very well because we want to see the screening in the file. Where's the background on this person? Okay, where's the person in unit 17? We noticed that there's no screening and they paid cash up front for 3 months of rent. Red flag. Okay, so they're going to do a financial audit. There's also the unit walk team. I was on the unit walk team. There's reasons to go put your eyes in every unit. And unfortunately, put your nose in every unit. We'll get into some. I hope I have time. But you see everything when you do these unit walks. But really, we want, is it occupied? What's the condition? How many people are in the unit, right? If I was talking about it, you see three people in the unit that are living there, and you go back and the lease only shows one, that's a problem. We need to know who's in our unit. So the new buyers, they're just making that note to themselves. Hey, you know, well, if we buy this property, that's some things we need to address. Pets, okay? If so, how many? Do they have three cats and two dogs? We need to note it on our paperwork. Take pictures because we go back to the lease and we go, well, unit 37's got five pets, but I noticed there's no pet lease. There's no pet deposit. There's nothing mentioning a pet whatsoever. That's an issue for a new buyer. What's the general condition of the unit, right? You know, when you walk in, is it clean? And we're only in there for 5 minutes, okay? We're not doing an entire inspection up and down. 5 minutes, boom. Is it clean? Is it destroyed? Is it a biohazard? And my gosh, some of them are biohazards, man. I mean, you want to literally gargle with Clorox after some of these things. Are they hoarders, right? Is there bugs? Is there bags of trash everywhere? Yeah, you'll see it. Hoarding's a fire hazard. There's two types of hoarders. There's the neat hoarder. Everything's in a box and the newspapers are stacked. I can still walk through the hallway. They got 17 years of newspapers just sitting there, dry kindling, fire hazard. And then there's the hoarder and there's trash. And you're like, dear Lord. I mean, we walked in one and the lady admitted, she goes, yeah, I don't even go in my bedroom anymore. I sleep here on the sofa. Open the door of the bedroom. Couldn't even get in. I mean, you could barely open the door. There's just stuff on top of stuff on top of stuff on top of stuff. We need to note that, okay? We need to check the functionality of the unit. Our model at Lifestyles Unlimited is best product, best price, managed by the best people. And we apply that in our multifamily investments. We're not slumlords, right? We're not trying to nickel and dime and not take care of our clients. We're going to make a property good because a good property attracts good residents. Good residents take care of the property. Good residents pay rent. We want the good folks, okay? We want to provide a clean, functional home for good people, okay? And so we got to have a good product, right? People, if it's a terrible place to live and it's poorly managed and there's trash and crime and no broken lights, people aren't going to pay you to live there. If you got a nice place, people will pay you to live in a nice place. So back to the discussion of value, that's why we're walking the units, okay? Because the lead investors, the potential buyers team, they want to have an idea of, you know, what do I need to do on day one? What do I need to budget for CapEx? What do I need to make this a better property? So they need to know. We may find 200 pets on the property, but only five pet deposits in the books. That's an opportunity for them, okay? They may look at it and say, hey, we're buying this property. We feel like we're buying it at a discount. And oh, by the way, No one signed any pet deposits. That is income, okay? A pet deposit or pet rent. Yeah, the deposit is not income. The deposit's there to protect, to protect against damage to the property. And some pets will absolutely destroy a property. But you can have pet rent. You can charge pet rent. Oh, you want to have a 30-pound dog? Well, our pet rent is $15 per animal. How bad do you love your dog? A lot of people will gladly pay $15, especially if you got green area and dog parks and it's pet friendly and all that. I'd pay $15 for my dog. I'm a dog lover. Not a big deal. But if the current sellers aren't charging that, that's an opportunity for the buyer. Okay. We may find that 20 units are complete trash with people living in complete filth, hoarding, not picking up after their pet. Yes, you walk in some places and there's weeks of dog dirt and cat dirt everywhere. That's a resident issue. If the structure is good, a good owner can fix those things, right? Again, that's actually an opportunity. That may scare someone. Again, I've always said real estate's counterintuitive. Someone on the outside going, I'd never buy a place like that. Look at, these people are trashing. Like, no, opportunity. You buy it, they're a hoarder. That's a fire hazard. They've got 6 months of dog dirt all over the hallway and in the floor and everything. On day one, you're like, look, you need to clean this up. This is a lease violation. You may even fine that person, or you may just warn them right in the first month and say, hey, I will be back the first of next month. You have 30 days to clean this up. This is trash. It's attracting bugs. It's not good for the people who live next to you. And if it's not done in 30 days, we're going to fine you again. And oh, by the way, if you don't pay the fine, you're going to be late on your rent, right? The fines and fees have to be paid first prior to rent. You still don't take care of it, we're going to evict you. Again, someone on the outside is going, well, Mike, that's all terrible. No, if I can get rid of the bad residents, A, I'm doing a service to the good residents. B, I now have a unit, okay? I can get in there. I can get it cleaned up. I can upgrade it. I could put new flooring. I could put new paint. I can put stainless appliances. I could put granite in there. And now we went from some you-know-what kind of place, just a horrific place, to, wow, I got a great unit. It's available for someone to rent. By the way, we're going to charge $150 more for this perfectly clean, new condition, new appliance unit, and you're going to find a good resident for that. So when you run into this just terribly messed up property or units within the property, if the structure's sound, that is an opportunity for the buyers, okay? That's an opportunity for them. That's not a bad thing. That's a resident issue, and resident issues can be fixed a lot easier than a foundation issue can be fixed. So we divided into two teams. We divided into the financial audit team that I discussed and the unit walk team. I was on the unit walk team, and we broke into two members, right? You always want two people. You don't want to walk into a place where someone else lives by yourself. So there's two of us. It makes sense. I had the checklist. My partner had the camera. The manager walked with us. They had the keys. The residents had been notified. Okay, letters had been, typically there's a little clip on every door, and letters had been sent out a few days before saying, hey, they don't say, hey, we're selling the property and these new buyers want to buy it. Don't tell your residents that a property is for sale. And as people walking the units, we didn't say that we're representing the buyer team. We just said we're here to do a unit inspection. It's not about if you're messy. It's not about any of that. It's really a structural inspection, okay? And so we would get access to the properties. But we would start off, my partner would photograph the front door. The reason he's doing that is this is unit 12A, okay? When the potential owners go through the deck of pictures and they've got my paperwork and they say 12A, okay, here's what Harrison noted on his paperwork, they can look at the pictures at the same time. They go, oh, here's what he was talking about in 12A. And they're going to put all this together and their information to either come up with a purchase price that's different than the one they had agreed to, or to renegotiate, or maybe to agree. Yeah, hey, we'll buy this property. But they've got to kind of do their homework. So manager would knock on the door, shout management, and then knock again, shout management again. If no one answered, we would go in. There are rules to unit walks. Rule number one, if you walk in and there is a minor in that unit and no adults present whatsoever, turn around, leave, lock the door back, okay? Apologize and leave. You don't need to be in there when someone else's kid's in there, okay? Rule of life, it's common sense, but let's get it out there. Now, if you walk in and this happened to us, I mean, we're shouting, hey, management, we're coming in, we're opening the door. I got down the hallway. We'd already inspected the kitchen, the living room, the flooring, the walls, the HVAC, took a picture of the smoke detector, noted that. Get to the bedroom, and there's a sleeper back there. Boom, we're out, okay? This person did not give us permission to be there. They may be pretending to be asleep. They may be passed out. They may be dead. No, they weren't dead, but get out, okay? Go. There's somebody in there. Time to leave. You open the door, and Cujo is standing on the other side, a large dog not in a crate. Close the door and lock it. You don't need to put yourself in danger, all right? It's a unit walk. You open the door, and there's three small dogs running around like grease lightning, bouncing off the sofa and the walls and everything. Close the door. You open the door, and you let someone else's pet outside, something they love. That's not a good thing. We're not going to lose anybody's pet. Now, sometimes you'd knock on the door, the resident's home, they know there's an inspection, and they will deny access. They will say, nope, guess what? We're out. We're going to note it on the paperwork, but then management can set a formal appointment. You do have a right to the property. That due diligence is not the time, okay? The potential buyers can always come back and say, yeah, we need access to unit 73, for instance. But this was a weekday, and I'll tell you, when we were walking, 70% of the residents were at work. So the inspections went really easy. I had the checklist. First thing I was looking at was the vinyl flooring. Is it buckled? Is it up? What's the condition, right? Is it good or repair? Really, we wanted to identify two things for the potential buyers. Good, G in the box, or R. R means pretty much you're going to fix it early on. It's an issue right now. If something is functional, if the dishwasher works, the refrigerator works, the stove works, the countertops look good, the disposal works, that's good, right? I'm not there to comment on the fact that the dishwasher is 20 years old. I'm pretty sure the leads have an understanding of what they're going to do to each and every unit to improve value. It's functional. It's good. Move on, right? Open the door to the dishwasher. Make sure the door actually opens and closes. Open the door to the fridge. You're not there to see what kind of beer they drink. You just want to know that the door works, that it closes, right? That's all. Smoke alarm. It's amazing how many units I walked in and the resident had taken the smoke alarm off. Okay. And some of them would go, well, it was beeping. Well, there's a thing called batteries, or there's a thing called call management, and they'll fix it for you. There's also a thing called fire, right? Fires kill people. Fires will destroy your stuff. Not good that smoke alarms weren't plugged in, or they were broken, right? They were smashed. Need to note that. That's something that needs to be fixed on day one. It's an obligation of ownership and management to provide smoke alarms, working smoke alarms, right? At the same time, there's an obligation of the resident to not take a hammer to the thing because you don't like it, or to unplug it or take it down. No, you can't do it. We need smoke alarms. Bathroom check, right? We're going to look at the tub, the counters, the toilet. We're going to look at the bedrooms. I walked in one and the toilet's got a giant crack in the back, right? That needs to be replaced. That's an arm. Every lead has their own system. I'm not saying every lead, when we do a due diligence, does it like this, but this one had their system. They wanted the G for good or the R for replace. Again, I wasn't there to comment on dated appliances. Now, let's talk about, and this is a true example from a community I'm invested in. The lead investor, right? The person that is taking down and running this property is doing some upgrades to some units, and the upgrades are costing $4,200, okay? Now, they're nice. They're solid countertops. They're new cabinets. There's some other things, and they're getting an additional $80 to $120 a month in income. Now, to somebody out there, again, I tell you what we do is counterintuitive. They may say, you're spending $4,200 to get an extra $80 a month or $100 or $120 a month. You bet I am. That $100 a month ends up being $1,200 a year in annualized income. Now, you're still thinking, Mike, you spent $4,200. It took you 1 year. You made $1,200. Let's go back to my discussion on cap rate and net operating income. Okay. You take your cap rate, and you're going to multiply it by that income. We were getting an improvement by spending $4,200 and getting the additional income. He's already tested the market, and when he does these upgrades, they rent quickly. The countertops mean that there's less money spent on the turn, right? They're more resilient. So we're actually spending less money in the future when those residents move out. But he did the multiplication by the cap rate. And that additional $1,200 to $1,400 per unit per year is increasing the value of the property to the tune of $8,000, right? Spend $42, make $8. That's where the decision is. This property is probably going to sell it sometime next year. He's improving the value, and he's growing rent by doing these upgrades. So the person I was walking units with, I'll comment on this. Great guy. He is brand new to Lifestyles Unlimited, and by brand new has been a member only for a few weeks, okay? But he had some friends that are in Lifestyles Unlimited, so he had an understanding. He had just never joined before. This person, in just a few weeks, has gone through all of his passive investor certification, literally smoked through it. He said, I did that in 2 days. This guy is ready to invest in real estate. He's been to several networking groups. He has reached out to many leads on our Podium app. He's already building those relationships just a few weeks in, and he volunteered for this due diligence. And he drove down from Oklahoma, okay? This is a person who gets it. This is a person who says, I am ready to invest passively. I'm ready to learn more about this. I'm going to do these walks. So right before we walked in the first unit, he goes, what do you think we'll see? And I go, his name is Michael. I go, Michael, we're going to see everything. Some stuff may shock you. Be prepared. Unit one did not disappoint. We went in and the smell hit us immediately. Pit bull, crate in the corner. My best guess, the last time this pit bull had a bath was sometime in 2023. There was a litter box in the living room. I think the last time the litter box was changed was sometime before the election. It was tore up, but the unit structurally was sound, okay? It's a resident issue. It's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity. Along the way, remember, it's not the money. It's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.